Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeth, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Welcome back to hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. So much wonderful, good information today. Some great calls. Also, some wonderful questions from some shy callers. And then I mentioned it's okay to send a message. And then, boom, a bunch of messages came through. Hey, but we love to talk with you, okay? And if you would like to call in, we would take your phone call. 800-465-8770 is that number. So we have lots of questions to answer. But we also have Linda on the line being very patient with her question. Good morning, Linda. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hello, Linda.
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving to you all, too.
Well, thank you. How can we help you, everybody?
Well, I want to know your thoughts about ivermectin for COVID treatment.
If I lived outside of Washington State, I'd prescribe it.
Okay. However, well, you do live in Washington.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I think there's good evidence from all around the world. There are a lot of places that it is the standard of care, and it seems to work pretty darn well. Not for people in ICU that are on the verge of dying, but people that just catch COVID on a day-to-day basis seems to help them to get well faster. You know, like every medicine, it's got some adverse effects and risks with it, but they're not horrible. It's been used in the United States on people, not just animals, for decades.
That's been one of the rumors, some that people against it are going, no, it's a vet medicine for animals. I don't want to put that in me.
Yeah, well, the problem is that so is penicillin.
Yeah, lots of other things that help us.
The fact is, veterinarians use the same drugs that we use in humans, and ivermectin is a human medication. It's just a different dose for a man than a horse.
There you go.
Since the horse outweighs you by 1,000 pounds, you probably need a lower dose.
But because of our laws here in Washington.
Well, it's not our laws. It's our board.
Okay. The medical board.
It's the medical board.
Okay.
They've basically made everybody afraid. And even if your doctor writes ivermectin, there's a good chance the pharmacy will not fill it because the pharmacists are afraid of getting into trouble with the state. The state controls our licenses. So, you don't want to cross them. They don't have to be right. They've got the power. And you have to bow to their power, even if that power is misused. So... does that answer your question?
Well, I have done a lot of investigation into it myself. My mother, who is 90, and myself, I'm 66, neither of us has taken the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that I've read about treatment or prevention, I should say, using ivermectin prophylaxis. Treatment. And so as long as I can get the ivermectin, you would feel, or I'm putting words in your mouth.
Yeah, don't put words in my mouth. there was a large South American study in which they gave first responders, the ambulance crews and the medics and so on, that would go to people's house to pick them up when they were very sick with COVID during the first stages of the epidemic. and half of the first responders were given ivermectin twice a week as a prophylactic, and half were not. And the incidence of infection was dramatically lower in those first responders that used ivermectin as a prophylactic. Majority, in fact, most, like 70% of those first responders that did not get the ivermectin got sick. Now, they didn't die because they were mostly healthy young people. Most first responders are not 80-year-olds. So they got sick, but fortunately, the vast majority of them did okay. But the half of the first responders that were taking the ivermectin, almost nobody got sick. So, I would say as a prophylactic, I think that was a very convincing study for me.
Yeah, does that help you, Linda? Now, I'm wondering, Linda's probably wondering this too, how could she go about getting this since Washington and the medical, what would be some options or...
There are 49 other states you can visit. And there are doctors that are online.
They do the telemed.
They do telemedicine and that have both Washington and other state licenses. Some of those guys have, you know, licenses in six or seven states. So they're not afraid to write it in Washington because if our board was to do something to their license, they still license in five other states and they don't live here. So they're willing to do things that people that live here and have to live in fear of our board can't do.
Okay. Does that help you, Linda?
It does help. And it also makes me really angry at the people in charge, as you say.
Powers that be.
Yep.
Well, thank you for your advice.
All right.
Makes me feel better. You have... ivermectin as a prescription, and so I haven't started taking it yet, but I will.
Okay. Just make sure you go through and, you know, look at the list of side effects and adverse things so you know what to watch for just in case you're in that minority that have any trouble. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Very good. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, taking your phone calls. Lines now open for you at 800-465-8770. We have another phone call we'll take in just a moment, but had a question. Somebody had sent us a message here, was a little shy, didn't want to talk on the air. It's okay. We do it every Saturday here.
But you know, folks, if you're shy, give us a fake name.
Yeah, give us a fake name.
All we're going to get is your first name anyway. Yeah, so, you
say,
know.
Hi, my name is, I don't know, Jerry Mixon.
Yes. In fact, a lot of times people like to use the radio because, you know, they're anonymous.
Yes,
nobody
sure.
Nobody knows
who
you are.
You can be Santa if you want.
That's right. Ooh, maybe he'll call us. I hope so. One of our questions was, what are the numbers on natural immunity, mortality rate, and that the reinfection rate? You kind of talked about that earlier. Versus the vax versus natural immunity. Do you have those types of numbers?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It turns out that people with natural immunity have 27 times the protection of those of us that have been vaccinated.
Okay.
Okay. So, and the CDC has no record of anybody that has recovered from natural infection.
Okay, of COVID.
Spreading the disease to anybody else. And that's whether they're vaccinated or not.
Okay.
So if you've had COVID, your natural immunity for most people is better. Now, here's the fly in that and every other ointment, and that is there's enormous variation in the immune systems of human beings.
That's right.
And, you know, if you're sedentary and overweight and elderly, and have coexisting problems like lung disease, or you're a smoker, or you use much alcohol, or you're a diabetic, or you have high blood pressure, your immune system is not very good.
Yeah.
And so whether you have had COVID or whether you've been vaccinated, you're always going to be at higher risk than leaner, stronger, younger people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And there's also, you know, genetic variation. Some people are just born with robust immune systems, and some people are
not.
Shorted in that field.
Yeah.
And, you know, so God made us all according to the same general plan. But there's a lot of customizing in the cabinets.
Yes, there is. I agree.
That is true. That is true. So hopefully that answers that question. Oh, boy. Let's go to the phones, and here is our number to call, 800-465-8770. Got a call from Seattle. Robert's on the line. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. I have a question about brain shrinkage.
Brain shrinkage. Okay. First answer, not a good thing.
I've been having a little bit of memory problems, which I've had my whole life. Mm-hmm. I've always related it to attention deficit disorder and anxiety. Since I was 18, I couldn't complete a verse in a song that I wrote. I played it 1,000 times. Couldn't remember it.
All right.
That's been going on since I was 18. So I went to the neurologist, and he recommended an MRI of my brain.
Uh-huh.
Probably to find out why I was so intelligent. So I got the report back, and it's not particularly good. Mm-hmm. It said there's no evidence of acute or subacute infarct.
Good.
But there is moderate diffuse cerebral volume loss.
Yes.
And scattered T2 hyperintense foci. Mm-hmm. When I talked to my neurologist, they pretty much said, don't worry about it too much. We don't really see anything you should worry about. But this happens to people your age. And then I went to a shrink, and they were a little less approving. They said, well, you know, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
So I have a question about that. Is there any way, and the only supplement I researched that I could find anything on it was vitamin B. And I don't know if there's any other, what would you do in this case for yourself? Okay.
Well, let's chat about that just a little bit.
Such an important topic. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Wow. Thank you for the question.
Yes.
Yeah, brain is part of your body, right? Yep. You know, we tend to divvy ourselves up into these little subsegments.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Sometimes we get the idea that our brain is different than the rest of us. Everything goes downhill as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
Your bones get thinner, your muscles get weaker, your heart doesn't pump as well, your lungs don't work as well, your kidneys don't work as well, your brain shrinks. It does get smaller with age for most of us. There are things you can do to retard that. For instance, there are compounds that your body can make called brain-derived neurotrophic factors that actually cause you to grow new neurologic tissues. The single best producer of this neurologic growth factors is working muscle. The more muscle you've got and the more intensely and frequently you work that muscle, the more brain tissue you make. Right? There are things such as your average blood sugar, your hemoglobin A1C. That's why we do an A1C on everybody that comes for our free health analysis, is that within the quote normal range for your blood sugar, A1C normal ranges from 4.4 to 5.7. At 5.7, we call you a pre-diabetic. At 6.5, you become a diabetic. Okay. A person at 4.4 to 5.2 is losing brain at half the rate of someone at 5.6 or 5.7.
Wow.
So 5.6 is normal, 5.0 is normal, but the person at 5.6 is losing brain volume twice as fast as the person at 5.0. Okay, so it's not just are you normal or not, it's where within the normal curve you fall. Okay, B vitamins do help to prevent age-related brain volume loss. Okay.
Come back up to the brain.
So there's a whole lot of things that you can do. We have a pack we call the memory pack, mm-hmm. that we basically caged from the Buck Institute down in LA.
Yeah.
That they are using these supplements.
Let's talk. Shall we talk about that after we come back from the break a little bit?
So we have a set of vitamins that we actually use to help people maintain their memories too.
So Robert, hang on, and we'll talk at length about that in just a moment when we come back from our break. This is Longevity Medical Clinics. Leading Edge Medicine, and we invite your calls too at 800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
Aging gracefully is a terrible option. Learn to live to your fullest potential. It's a lot more fun. Call with your question at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay tuned for more.
We'd just like to encourage your audience who hasn't to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know as love.
Medicine. Hello, my name is Lynette, here along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. And we've been on the phone with Robert from Seattle talking about brains and the shrinkage, actually, and what we can do about it. You were just getting ready, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, to talk about some of the supplements.
Some of the supplements, but also some of the lifestyle issues. And once more, and I know people get tired of me talking about fat, but fat, especially white fat, the fat that is visceral, that's under, that's inside your abdomen, it produces more than 80 different pro-inflammatory peptides, enzymes, and cytokines. And among those is nuclear factor kappa beta.
That just sounds so horrible.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
Well, it is.
Yeah,
because,
it is.
Because it interferes with hippocampal function and actually causes brain tissue to shrink. And so nuclear factor kappa beta is very common in people that are getting minimal cognitive impairment or age-related cognitive decline and cerebral atrophy, which is what it sounds like is happening to this gentleman. Yeah.
But you see, Jerry, the thing is that a lot of times people don't think of these things, right? Nobody's thinking, okay, my little bit of visceral fat is causing my brain to atrophy. And yet scientists are identifying these things in us as toxins, and the toxic exposure increases. We're breathing toxins, we're eating toxins, we're putting toxins on our skin, and we're then making toxins because of our exposures, and all of this is contributing to our brain shrinkage. On top of that, we're not eating enough nutrients that help the brain grow. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are losing muscle mass, which helps brain-derived neurotrophic factors. We're getting older, and our hormone system is declining, and so we don't have the neuroendocrine support to help. So there are so many. It's not just one thing.
No, it's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of things. And you have to figure out how many of those little things are contributing to your age-related brain loss.
Which is precisely why Longevity Medical Clinic does not do episodic care. You know, people sometimes, when we talk on the radio, we'll say, oh, I want to come see you for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
We don't see you for that.
That's right.
We do a comprehensive program.
Yeah.
Because if we really want to improve people, we need to change as many factors as possible in that individual's life.
That's right.
And so we need to look at their inflammatory indices and lower the inflammation in their body and in their brain. We have to look at their muscle mass because I want them to have more muscle. Muscle good, fat bad.
Say that again, Dr. Mixon.
Muscle good,
fat, bad.
Yes. So we don't just want them to, quote, lose weight. Because most people, when they go on a diet, they are losing fat, but they're also losing muscle mass.
I mean, the other day
they need the muscle.
A person who lost weight and it was all muscle. In fact, the fat went up.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Go figure.
It happens.
Yes.
And so, you know, we need to alter the endocrine support.
Yes.
So we shift their metabolism towards muscle production instead of fat production. Mm-hmm. So when they go on a lifestyle change, they're burning more calories and they're taking fewer calories in. So they lose preferentially fat and maintain muscle because the muscle contains the growth factors to protect your brain and your heart and your lungs and your joints and your blood sugars and your kidneys and your eyes. So, you know, we need that muscle.
That's right.
And people often don't make that connection. But muscle is working muscle yeah. is a very active hormone producing compound.
Yeah.
It makes growth factors and healing and anti-inflammatory peptides.
Yeah. And one other thing is the gut. We are now recognizing more than ever before that the gut microbiome is a very important factor, and there's a huge gut-brain connection.
There
now,
is.
Leaky gut syndrome is basically ability for toxins to be absorbed through the gut, and that's because the gut microbiome is compromised, and good bacteria are subdued by bad bugs, viruses, and bacteria that really overgrow and then affect the whole milieu in the gut. And that then increases our toxic exposure.
Well, and those, that poor mix of bacteria in the gut, those bacteria are releasing exosomes and acellular vesicles
yeah.
that are being absorbed into our bloodstream through our gut.
Yeah.
And they are actually then reprogramming our cells in a pro-inflammatory way.
Yeah.
And they actually increase our production of senescent cells.
Mm.
And the senescent cells inhibit the growth of our healthy cells
yeah.
and cause us to go downhill faster.
Right. And so it's a vicious cycle. So, you know, Robert, to answer a simple question, there's a lot you can do. You have to begin with what a simple and what are the things that you can change that are not working for you. Start by walking, start by increasing your exercise, build more muscle, figure out where in your diet you can cut back on your sugar, and then look at what are the exposures that you need to minimize. Do you have any gum disease? Do you have sleep apnea? Do you have something else that might be causing the problem? Make sure your nutrition is adequate.
Have you had heavy metal exposures
yeah,
or pesticide exposures
yeah.
in the past? Yeah. And then if you really, really are serious, you need to come to Longevity Medical Clinic and let us do a full evaluation and put you on a significant program to make you stronger, faster, leaner,
smarter,
sexier, and maintain your brain function at the highest level humanly possible for as long as possible.
Absolutely.
That's what we're after.
Absolutely.
See, you asked what you thought was a simple question, and you
yes,
got...
that's right. But there's so much more to it, right? Was that helpful for you, Robert?
Yes, I would just like a quick follow-up. What do you think of attention deficit disorder? Do you think that's real?
Yeah,
they
sure
don't
it is.
Have anybody who can deal with them.
Yeah, yeah, it's real. But the problem is we don't have a lot of good stuff to do about it. You know, the sympathomimetics, you know, the things like Ritalin and so on, they seem to help people with attention deficit disorder focus better and longer, which is really kind of interesting because it's paradoxical.
Yeah.
You know, if you give those of us with normal attention spans some speed, we speed. We get.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know, we can't sit down and focus. Mm. If you give a person with attention deficit disorder the same amphetamines, they focus and calm down and their brain functions better.
Mm.
So, you know, they're somewhere in a very basic structural way. Their brains function differently than the rest of us because the drugs that make the rest of us hyper and disorganized help them to get organized.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think I have a problem in that I've never had an illness in my life. I haven't had the flu for 30 years.
Good
but
for
I
you.
But I did have a stent placed about 4 or 5 years ago. And so when I talk to people about Ritalin, of course, they say, no, you've had a stent, so we can't give you Ritalin. But I think Ritalin would help.
Well, it would help your attention deficit disorder, but Ritalin is a vasospastic agent. It tightens down blood vessels, constricts them. And, of course, the whole purpose of your stent is trying to hold that coronary artery open. The last thing your cardiologist wants is to have it tightened down, and that's why he doesn't want you anywhere near Ritalin. All right. Again, Ritalin would help one thing, and it might kill you on the process.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know, there's side effects.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Take
All
care,
right.
sir.
Thank you, Robert.
Good luck, Robert.
Absolutely. Had some more calls that are waiting on the line, 800-465-8770. There's room for you, too. Also had some other phone calls with questions. One of them, concerns relief factor. So can you take a quick question about this? It's a
yeah, I know something about that compound.
It's a follow-up on not taking relief factor with blood thinners like Eliquis.
Yeah, and it's a... All right, how far on the limb do I want to go with this?
You got 3 minutes. How about that?
Well, no, it's not a matter of time.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay. Eliquis is a non-vitamin K-dependent blood thinner, and so it allows you to not clot as easily. It's not impacted by fruits and vegetables. That's the good news. But omega-3s are very mild anticoagulants, and so is resveratrol, and so is Coumadin. Not Coumadin.
Curcumin. Yeah.
And so all three of those things... help to prevent blood clots in normal people. In Eliquis, you're adding something that is also there to keep you from clotting. And so it depends on how sensitive you are. Mm-hmm. We generally tell people that low doses of relief factor, like one packet a day, will probably be perfectly safe. Mm. 3 packets a day would be a definite no-no. 2 packets a day would depend on your personal physiology. Mm. Most cardiologists that are prescribing things like Eliquis are very cautious, and they just say, don't use any supplements.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Okay. Because they don't want to take a chance. Mm. And the fact is, depending on your personal situation, and Eliquis by itself, even if you didn't take relief factor, certain small percentage of people will have bleeding issues with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's about 1/4 as many people as those who were taking Coumadin, but it happens. And so nobody wants to say, oh yeah, go ahead and take relief factor. Then you turn out to be one of those people that bleed into your brain and your lawyer will swear it was due to the relief factor.
Yeah.
Ah, right? So that's why we tend to be pretty hedgy about that.
Mm.
Reality is, a packet of relief factor is going to get you probably less curcumin than you'd get in a curry if you went to an Indian restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, Indian people eat curry
all the time.
Yes,
And it's one of the reasons that India has such a low incidence of Alzheimer's disease, by the way, is the curcumin's an anti-inflammatory in their brains.
Yeah.
It's also an anti-clotting agent. So... You know, or if you eat salmon or an oily fish, you're getting the omega-3s.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you're eating much in the way of bright red and orange veggies,
fruits and vegetables,
So all of these, all of these things in relief factor are found in foods.
Mm-hmm.
And if your doctor's not taking you off the foods, then low dose relief factor is probably safe, but we can't guarantee it.
That's right. All right. Hopefully that's helpful for you. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment with Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon. I'm Lynette. Stay close. We'll be back in just a moment.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Listen to past programs by going to lmclinic.com.
Call in now at 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770.
I'm in the longevity program in Linwood with Dr. Armstrong, and I'm very happy. And one of the things I realize why it's being very successful for me is that I feel like I have a personal coach.
The night was clear and the moon was yellow and the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on the corner.
Oh boy, we love this song. We would sing it all the rest of the show if we could. Hi there, welcome back. This is Leading Edge Medicine here every Saturday at this very same time, live on the radio, taking your calls, of course, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And we will talk more about that in just a moment. We have some very patient callers here. Darren from Maple Valley calling in. Good morning, Darren. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Darren.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and I enjoy following your show, and I enjoy the common sense approach that you have to your methodologies.
Well, thank you, sir.
I also really have enjoyed your little monologue at the very beginning of the shows regarding COVID and kind of the status and where things are going and laws and all that kind of stuff.
Updates.
One
yes.
thing that I would like to have an answer to, I have not had the vaccine. I am on the kind of on the fence. I am not anti-vax in any way, but this one I'm just pretty cautious about, and the things that I've read kind of scare me about it, and I just prefer sure. not to do it. But of all the people that I guess in my own mind that I would expect not to take it would have been Dr. Mixon.
Oh, that's an interesting comment. But actually, you have always vaccinated yourself, you know, flu yes. vaccine, everything.
I travel the world, and yeah. I am often in third world countries where I can catch everything. So I take every vaccine available. I took the vaccine I took the vaccine because I am a 74-year-old man. Okay. And statistically, if I catch COVID, despite the fact that I do everything I can to keep my immune system boosted, I am at a lot higher risk of being injured or killed from the disease than I am from the vaccine. And yes, there are people that are injured and people even die with vaccines. Every vaccine ever made kills some people and injures others. Because this is a new type of vaccine, people are watching it very, very, very closely. And so, you know, and anybody who gets sick or dies within a few weeks of taking their vaccine is touted as a vaccine death.
Yeah.
The reality is, if you give anything, if I gave a sugar cube to 300 million people, some of them are going to die that day. And they're going to die the next day and the next week. They're going to get sick. They're going to catch autoimmune diseases. The fact is, well, we're dealing with such a vast population of people. And a population that, as in the United States, tends to be sedentary and overweight. You are going to have a lot of people get sick after the vaccine that had nothing to do with the vaccine.
The other thing, too, Jerry, might be time to point out is that the mRNA technology for vaccine is not new.
No. The technology has been around for a long time.
Yes.
The technology was originally developed while they were searching for cures and vaccines for AIDS.
Yeah. Oh, back in the 80s.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And that's when the technology was first pioneered. This is the first time we've used it to actually produce a vaccine.
Yeah.
And as I have followed the literature very closely, because before I put something in my body, yeah. I like to understand what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, this has some advantages in that it allowed us to produce a vaccine very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And we produced a vaccine for a disease that was killing hundreds of thousands of people in the United States and has thus far killed over 5 million people worldwide. Okay. So millions of people were dying from this disease, mm-hmm. and we had no really effective drugs we knew about. We had some things like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin that had possibilities, but we didn't really know early how well they were going to do. The studies were all over the map. Some said yes, some said no. And so, you know, Mr. Trump made the decision to cut out as much paperwork and bureaucracy as possible and try to get the people of the world a vaccine as quickly as possible. And that's what they did. A vaccine that would normally have taken 3 to 5 years to come to market was in market in 8 months, which is a remarkable achievement. Mm-hmm. But you're right in that it is, because it was produced very quickly, we don't have 5 years
data.
Of experience
yeah.
in it.
We don't know.
We don't know what happens yes. 5 years up the road. So when people say it is experimental, well, to that extent, yes, it is a mass experiment. But the consequences, we had people dropping like flies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife is from China. We have a lot of friends in China. We follow the literature there very carefully. We were watching in some cities, such as Wuhan, in which people were literally falling yeah. dead in the streets.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. you know, early on. Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a total disaster.
But you remember at that time we thought it's never going to come here.
We had no idea.
Well, and that's because the Chinese Communist Party was claiming that, you know, you could only get sick if you've been to the wet market, and yet people all over the city that had never been to that market were dropping. Mm. So, you know, we got lied to. But for whatever reason, as I watched what was happening, I just made the decision that given my age, I was a lot less at risk from the vaccine than I was from the disease. So I took it. Wow. But I am opposed to vaccine mandates. I am delighted that the Fifth District Court has told the Biden administration that they had better not try to enforce their mandate because it is almost certainly unconstitutional. State mandates are a different thing. Our state goes by the state constitution, not the feds. And so it would appear that our legislature has granted our governor the power to do the things he's doing. And so you grant a politician power, you can bet it's going to happen. They love exercising power. I believe in human freedom. I make my choice. I believe every person should be free to make their choice. I am vehemently opposed to firing people if they don't get vaccinated. I think that you got a right to make your decision. I don't have to agree with it. So does that answer your question?
So if I may, I'd like to just follow up then. So I'm 61. I do have a couple of comorbidities, not real super significant, but I am overweight, and I would like to do something with that. But if I decide to get the shot, and I am currently taking the typical prophylactica, you know, the vitamin D, you know, vitamin C, quercetin. I don't take ivermectin or anything like that. But I assume that if I take the shot, that I'm still pretty susceptible. I would think just everybody would be susceptible to still getting the disease, getting COVID, but just not having quite the reactions to it. So I would expect that I would still need to take the prophylactic. Is that true?
Yes, I'd stay on your regimen. The reality is that when you take the shot in your 60s, you know, the average person who gets an immunization 2 weeks after their second shot is 95% protected against infection. In your 60s, you're probably not quite that good. You're probably down in the low 90s or high 80% because, you know, this number is an amalgam of 20-year-olds and 80-year-olds. And the young people make better antibody response than old people. In fact, in your 60s, you probably make about one-fifth as much antibody from the shot as a 20-year-old would. That will still be enough to protect you for a while. But over time, that protection will wane, and you will become more and more susceptible again. That's why we're seeing breakthrough infections now, because most of the high-risk people got their shots back in January, February, or March. And they're far enough up the road that their protection is fading, and we're seeing breakthroughs. But even with that, your risk of dying or having a serious illness are much reduced by your initial vaccinations.
Are you concerned at all about having a bunch of follow-up boosters throughout your life now? That once you get on this COVID shot train, you have to have boosters every 6 months to a year or whatever for the rest of your life, maybe?
Well, and we don't know. You know, it's kind of interesting. The more often your immune system is challenged, the more robust its response. So that's why, for instance, in Moderna, they cut the booster dose in half because I've already had two Moderna shots. And that third one is going to really kick me up gangbusters. The question is, how long will it last? And again, nobody knows because it's new days. I sincerely hope it's not 6 months. I'm hoping it protects me for a year or 18 months or 2 years. The less often I need to take a shot, the happier camper I will be. But I'm not going to get any younger.
Yeah, Yeah, and we don't know what the virus is doing in the future.
No, so. We don't know what further mutations.
Yeah.
You know, we had the novel virus, then we have the alpha variant, and we've got the delta variant.
Yeah.
There is a mu and the N1 out there somewhere.
Yes, sadly.
You know.
And the case count is on the rise.
Yeah. You know, America's infection rate is 30% higher today than it was 14 days ago. That's mostly up in the northern tier of states, New England, upper Midwest. But Washington is flat. We haven't started climbing yet, but we stopped dropping 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
We were dropping every day, and now
yes,
we're just
kind
of flattened out the curve. Mm. We're kind of stuck in the low 20s.
Mm.
And, you know, 22 cases per 100,000.
Mm.
That's a lot better than the 47 cases per 100,000 we had, but it's not as good as Florida's 7. Mm. So, we just have to wait and see. I'm hoping the newer vaccines that are being worked on will impact both the T cell and the B cell systems. See, our current one only does the B cell, the antibody response. It does not help us with our memory cells. So there's enormous research going on right now with a newer version that will impact both T cell and B cell. If that turns out to be the way they're hoping, that should give us multi-year protection.
So do you have a particular shot brand that you would prefer, like the Pfizer versus the Moderna? And what do you think about waiting for the pill that's coming out?
Yeah.
For not doing the shot.
Yeah, the pill is for if you get infected as a treatment. And it cuts hospitalization rates by more than 50%, so it's useful. But it's not 100% effective. And you are still, you know, waiting to see whether or not you get sick to take the pill. My choice for an adult male in your age group is Moderna. Moderna is far more effective than Pfizer for older males. When we get back from the commercial, I'm going to talk a little bit about choices, which ones I would use for men, for women, for children. And that was an interest to me because I have a 9-year-old daughter at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have to make decisions about
her. Thank you very much. All right. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Darren. Call again. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and we're taking your calls live, 800-465-8770. We'll be back talking about those COVID shots and the reasons for the different types with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. Stay close.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Leading Edge Medicine.
Don't believe the lie that you have to fall apart at the normal rate and see what your options really are at lmclinic.com.
Stay tuned for more.
I started playing in the Puget Sound Senior Baseball League when I was 51, and I started pitching. And the guys, my regular catcher for the 3 years before I started the program, was catching me one day after I'd started on the program. And he came out about the third inning and he said, "Dude, I don't know what you're doing, but you've gained about 5 or 6 miles an hour on your fastball." And I didn't go into think about longevity at the time, but I just kind of knew that that was what was making the difference.
Boom, 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 boom. Bum, 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 bum.
Does she love me with all her heart? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know. Does she need me?
If he's with a woman that he has to worry about when they're apart, he's with the wrong woman. Change chicks, fool.
And that goes both ways. Yes, absolutely. Love and relationship advice with Dr. Mixon. Medical advice, too. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there, I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon. Just about 11 minutes left of our show today, and we have a couple callers on the line. But Dr. Mixon, quickly, you were going to talk about the differences between the vaccines.
Yes. You know, Moderna gives the highest levels of antibody. And for older men, that's great because men don't respond. We don't make as much antibody as women do. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a guy and you're an older guy and older people make less antibody and men make less than women, then give yourself the best boost you can. And that's Moderna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With women, it's more of an even thing. Young women, on the other hand, are getting young women and adolescents in children are actually getting more pericarditis, that is inflammation around the heart, from Pfizer. So I avoid Pfizer in young women and adolescents. The worst of all for women of any age is Johnson & Johnson. That's the one that has the clots in the brain with serious disability and even some deaths. So Johnson & Johnson is my least favorite. It makes the weakest antibody response, and it has the most fatal complications. And so I'm saying, why would you take that one? So Pfizer and Moderna are the two choices. If you're over 50 and female, I don't worry about pericarditis with you anymore. It's the 20-somethings that actually have the most risk of pericarditis and younger. And Moderna seems to be the safest for everybody, except Moderna will cause the most muscle aches, chills, fatigue. And that's because it's got the highest antibody response, and your body reacts to that high antibody response. So Moderna is the one that was going to make you the most miserable the next day, but has the fewest serious side effects associated with it.
Okay,
and the best protection.
What about children?
Children, I'm thinking probably Pfizer. For young kids, my 9-year-old, I'm still debating. You know, my wife has not yet got her booster, but she's only in her 40s. And my child has not yet. Yeah, the risk benefit ratio in children is so different. My 9-year-old's risk of being seriously injured by COVID are infinitesimal. If it weren't for the social issues, I would not immunize my 9-year-old. I'd wait till she was at least 15, 16 years old, because that's when the curve starts to change and risk factors start to go up. But we travel, and I am confident that if she is not, quote, fully vaccinated in the near future, they will not permit her in restaurants. They will not permit her on airplanes. They will not permit her to do anything. The other kids will be out of their masks at school, and she'll still be having to wear a mask if she's not immunized. So, you know, there's a real pressure. I don't want to leave her home, and I don't want to give up our travels.
There you go.
So I will probably have her immunized, probably with Pfizer, but not quite yet.
Okay. Still looking at all the information.
Yep.
Every week it changes. It seems to update.
So somebody with the 5-year-old was asking me the other day, and I was like, boy, I don't know.
You know, if you don't eat out, if you're homebodies and you plan to stay homebodies for the foreseeable future, then the kid is at virtually no risk of the disease. But if you're like us, you know, and you want to head off to Thailand and China and Germany and
Even within the United States for that
Hawaii
matter.
They made us show our vaccine cards
And so, you know, and they will be ordering that for the small children too in the near future. And so I just say, well, I don't want to give up traveling. I'm not going to leave her home.
Okay.
I don't have a nanny to watch her while
we go. You get to do that. All right. Hey, time for one last question before the show is over. Let's head to Snohomish. And good morning. We have Ken on the line.
Hello, Ken.
Well, actually, this is his wife, but I can talk for him. I'll be quick. He is having problems with, he has a floaty feeling. It's his balance, we think. Comes and goes. Mm-hmm. Worse in the morning. He's 90 years old. It's actually not dizzy. It's just floaty feeling. And the doctors are confused. They can't. They do not know what this is.
Yeah.
I'm blood not sure pressure, what vision, hearing.
Well, now his blood pressure is great. The last one was 112/8, 67. Anyway, his signature's great.
That was standing, sitting, or laying?
Sitting.
Okay. Stand him up and check it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, now, he just had a heart valve replacement this year, about a couple months ago.
Okay.
And he has noticed that his stamina, he walks a mile a day, and his stamina is a lot better. But this doesn't seem to be improving.
Okay. Yeah, what I get concerned about is sometimes, especially people in their 90s, they'll get what we call postural hypotension. Their blood vessels don't tighten up as quickly as they used to. And so blood drops from the head to the feet, and they get lightheaded and, you know, a little woozy.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt. The morning, it's worse. In the evening, it seems to settle out, and he's better. That's confusing us.
Well, not necessarily. Usually in the evening, pressures are higher, and you're getting better blood flow to the brain. If you're sedentary and just waking up and not doing much yet in the morning, I would expect his pressures to be a lot lower. That's why when I'm suggesting, if you got a blood pressure cuff, and they're cheap, get one, check his pressure when he's laying down before he gets up, have him stand up, check his pressure. When he's having his symptoms, check his pressure.
Okay. Now, do you understand when I say a floaty feeling, it's not like he's dizzy?
It's like he's not spinning. He just feels lightheaded, as though something's not right.
Well, it's not really lightheaded. He just feels like he's moving, you know, like the ocean. He's just moving in his head.
Okay.
That's why the doctors are puzzled.
Yeah, well, and these doctors are both sitting here squinting and trying to come up with a reason,
I'm thinking inner ear, maybe, if he has some fluid in his inner ear.
Possibly.
Or some crystals
but
or something.
Why morning and not evening?
And why, I don't know.
That doesn't fit.
Yeah.
I thought about that, too, but I wondered if they settled some way at night. Then when he got up in the morning, it was different, and then they settled during the day. I even thought about that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Then one other thing. He does have weakness in his legs after he stands for a while.
Okay.
Like vascular issue standing, seems to be the point, Jerry. You know,
seems to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, the question is what? Well, he's got a cardiologist. He's had a stent.
Right, right.
He's had valvular repair. I'd go in and I'm sure he probably has done this already, gone and chatted with his cardiologist about it and his cardiovascular surgeon. Because I worry about postural blood pressure changes through the day.
Okay, that's a good point. We have talked to the surgeon about it. It's just one of these things that's confusing everybody. But your one point about the posture, maybe that's one new clue.
Yeah. So give that a try. It might be your answer. You know, certainly can't guarantee it, but it's worth looking at.
And then who do we see about the ear? We've wondered about that. Who would he see about that?
Well, any really good ENT person.
Anybody close to you or, you know, maybe your primary care knows of someone?
Okay, fine. We'll go that route. Okay, well, I thought maybe this was a puzzle. If they couldn't figure it out, maybe you could. So,
thank you for the confidence, but I'm afraid it's misplaced.
There you go.
It's really sad because he's in excellent health, just, you know, physically overall, except this thing in his head, and it's just driving us crazy. So we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
Well, good luck.
Thank you and his wife.
Take care.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Oh, thank you so much. Call again. That's it for phone calls today. Boy, we had quite a few. And if you weren't able to get in this week, we're not going to be here next week. We will, but we won't. We won't be here live, we're pre-recording the show with lots of good information. So make sure to tune in the Saturday after Thanksgiving. We call it Thanksgiving weekend, and we hope you'll be able to tune in. You just won't be able to call in because we'll all be with our families. So just wanted to let you know about that. And Dr. Umat, maybe you and I could talk more about Longevity Medical Clinic, which sponsors the show, Leading Edge Medicine, and why it's important, if you haven't, to come in for that free health analysis appointment, and why wouldn't you want to find out how you can be so
well,
much
you know,
better?
Today, more so than ever before, it is really up to you how you age. Mm-hmm. And you can reverse the normal changes of aging, and you can be better tomorrow than you are today.
Yes.
Instead of taking a prescription medication for this, that, and the other, and then another one for the side effects of this, that, and the other, you can actually find out what is the root cause of your issue. You can address it before it becomes a problem, and you can remain healthier for longer and enjoy your life better.
Awesome. That's why we want you to get in for your free health analysis appointment. And this is what you do to come in for those two tests, the blood and the in-body test, which lets our health advocate know so much about what's going on with you. Simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and click on Schedule My Free Health Analysis Appointment. Pick the day, the time, even the clinic that is closest to you, whether it's Kirkland, Tacoma, or Linwood. You can also schedule your appointment by calling 866-86-YOUNG. That's Longevity Medical Clinic. Head to our website, get some information, and be a stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier you by this time next year. Find out the information. Thank you for joining us on Leading Edge Medicine. We'll see you next week. Have a great rest of your weekend and happy Thanksgiving.